Patrick Bright is my guest in the studio, 18 minutes after 10. Now, let's throw a couple of scenarios up, Patrick. I've got an average home. It's 30 or 40 years old, and we're thinking about putting it on the market. Where do I draw the line in terms of how much I spend and what do I spend the money on?
Great. Well, this is a great question. What we should do to start with is work out what end value would be if you renovated it to a good standard. So you might want to talk to a couple of real estate agents, get them in, say, look, what's it worth right now? What is it worth if I did the bathrooms, kitchen, paint, these sort of things, and actually lifted the value? Now, if the end value, let's say it's worth, for ease of numbers, $500,000,
yep,
and the end value is going to be $600,000 once you've done all the work, but the cost of the work is going to cost you $70,000, you're 30 grand in it. So you've got to make the decision, do I want to go through it for that extra $30,000 or not? And that's a decision that you need to make, whether it's worthwhile. But sometimes you'll find that the cost of the works to do it might be more than the end value, and in that case, don't touch it, sell it as it is.
Because the other advantage there is that one man's trash is another man's treasure. I could be selling that house with the old 1930s kitchen and the yellow tiles in the bathroom that have been there for 50 years, and the buyer comes in and looks at that and could go one of two ways. Could say, fantastic, this is a renovator's delight, or yuck, I don't like this place.
Which is another mistake people make when they renovate. If they're going to sell it, they renovate it to their taste, not to a wider part of the market. Now, you'll never capture everybody, but you need to go neutral so you can capture the majority of the market so you don't turn off buyers, because that's a problem too. If they come in, they go, I want to put my own personal touches to it. Not everybody wants to do that. So if you make it neutral and they can then add to it without actually having to start again.
So I'm about to put our place on the market soon enough, and we've got an ensuite that still hasn't been renovated, and yet I'm balking at renovating it because whilst the rest of the home has been done, so nothing needs to be done anywhere else, I'm figuring that, you know what, it's not going to make a huge amount of difference. So someone that buys our home, they're going to buy it because of the position of the style of home that it is. They're not going to buy it because of the ensuite. Rather, I think they would probably look and say, you know what, we might change that room around a little bit, and in the process we can vamp up the ensuite as well.
Yeah, and if that's the case, don't do the work. But what you could do is make sure you could actually, to when you go to put it on the market, get a floor plan drawn up, just get a draftsperson in, very cost effective, get them to do a couple of options and leave that with the agent. So the agent can say to the owner, the new potential buyers, look at the options you've got here with this area. So rather than, if it's the only thing not done, rather than have it as the not done bit, have it as the potential piece.
What are, in your opinion, what are the mistakes, the common mistakes that people make when it comes to renovating?
The number one thing is that is from a dollar's point of view, is that end value. They're not doing that check from start to finish. So I would probably look at 20, 30 homes a week in my travels, and I would say the ones that are renovated, nearly half of them, the owners are not going to get their money back for the work they've done if they've done it in the last 5 years. So that's a big mistake they make. They also go too personal, so they're not making it neutral, which obviously if they didn't intend to sell it when they did the work, then it's going to be personal. But you need to depersonalise it before you sell it. It'll make it easier to sell. It may not get you a whole lot more money, but time's money. So if it's going to sit on the market waiting for that unique buyer, you might want to neutralise the colour. So wax and paint through if you've got some feature walls that are a bit out there, and actually tone it down to make it easier so people can see themselves in the property.
And, you say you throw some paint around and tidy the place up. I guess it goes without saying that, if you are putting a place on the market to sell, the first thing you really should be doing anyway is the bare necessity, cleaning up the gardens and making the place look presentable without even spending any money.
Oh, always neat, tidy, presentable, make it attractive. Particularly if you're going to spend a bit of money, do it from the front of the property. So you want to sell that front of the property. You want to have that as the most attractive part if you've got a limited budget. Spend it more on the front than the backyard. Because people will drive past and they do judge a book by its cover and they may not even enter the home. There's plenty of properties that people have told me they've gone up to the front of and said, no, don't like the look of that. I've looked at it and said, have you considered this one? And they've said, oh, no, we needn't go in it because it looked yuck from the front. I've said to them, look, it's everything else you want. We can fix the front. And then I've had people actually go ahead and buy those properties that I've helped them with, but they discounted it when they were looking on their own, simply because unattractive.
So that's an issue in itself. I mean, a lot of people don't have a builder's mind or a bit of imagination.
Yeah, well, that's it. They don't. And that's something that you know, can get some help with. Because I'm constantly walking through a property with what I do. And, you know, you could just hire a drafts person or an architect, take a builder through with you if you've got someone. If you're happy to have got the time to search on your own and you like looking at real estate on your own, get somebody who's got some skill who can walk through a property and visualise removal of walls and open this up. And, you know, if you've got a clear idea of what you want, you tell them and then they can give you that advice whether the property could become that for you.
Because that's what makes the difference, obviously, being able to have that vision as to how it would look, not how it does look.
Yeah. I'm constantly doing it with people saying, hey, look past this. You know, they say to me, Pat, I've got a budget. I've got, you know, $1.5 million. That's the maximum I want to spend. I find them a place for $1.2 million. I say, if we spend $300 on it, it's going to look like this. And they're like, I can't see it. So I've got to help educate them and advise them. So what you want for $1.5 million is very hard to find, almost impossible, but we can get it for this, and we've got left with the difference of the money that you've got left over from the purchase price, we can do the work yourself. And by doing it yourself in the end, you actually can add more value. So we could spend $300 million, but we might add $4 or $5 or $6 million.
But back to doing the renovation yourself on the property, the other issue surely is locking in a firm and fast price to do the renovation work as opposed to do and charge. Because plenty of people get caught with the do and charge exercise. You know, get the builder in and it's a bottomless pit and it's an open checkbook.
Yep, certainly can happen. So what you want to do is exactly what you said there, Glenn, is get that firm figure that you want from your builder or your whoever's going to do the work for you. You want a firm figure, and you say to them, I don't want any variations, I don't want this. You know, obviously, if they're digging a hole in the ground and they strike rock, that's, you know, putting foundations in, you're going to have to wear that.
Okay, a lot of people get to a stage where they, for one reason or other, they need to find alternate accommodation, or they start to look around either because they become empty nesters, the kids have all grown up and left home, or because they're just about to start a family, so they need more space. So it's either, you know, downsize or upsize.
Mm-hmm.
Approaching the renovation issue from that point of view, I mean, what do you look for? When is the time to say, no, we're not going to renovate, we're just going to move on?
I think it comes down to a lot. Some people don't have the funds to do the work, but if you've got the funds to do it, it is just going to come down to, is it worthwhile? Because you've got to look at the cost of living through it. Don't just think about the cost of the works. You've got to look at if you've got to move out, how long the property might be vacant for, particularly if you've got an investment property. I renovate a lot of investment properties for people. And so we've got to look at the cost of how long we don't have a tenant in the property. Does the renovation take 4, 6, 8, 12 weeks, depending what we're doing to the property? So these are all holding costs have to be put into that equation as well. Are we going to get a better rent return? So is it worthwhile? So I look at it from if I spend a dollar, I want to try and get $2 back in capital value. Plus, if I'm investing, say, $100,000 into a renovation, for ease of numbers, let's say that's at 7% interest. That $100,000 is going to cost me $7,000 a year. So I've actually pumped that money into it. Even if you've got it in cash, it's the cost of money. So let's just factor that in. Am I going to get... So the $7,000 a year, that's the equivalent of about $140 a week in rent. Mm. $140 a week in interest. So what I want to do there is, am I going to get more than $140 a week increase in rent return? So that's one of the mathematical equations I go through. Is it worthwhile doing this for an investment property?
Look, what you're saying is it's common sense. It's do your homework. It's do your homework before you go and do any of this.
Yeah, but look at it from a number of angles as well. Yeah. Don't just look at it, oh, I'm going to spend $100,000 and I'm going to get, you know, $200,000 in value. But if you don't get much more of a rental increase, it actually may not be worth it from a yield point of view. You can decrease your return on investment. So you have to factor that in as well. You don't just rely on do a renovation just for growth or just for rent. I look at it from both angles.
Yeah, because if it's not for growth or rent, it may be in fact for the future for us to live in. You know, we're not planning on going anywhere for the next
and that's fine.
10 or 20 years.
That's fine. I don't look at things like that. I look at it from a return on investment point of view, because that's what my main focus of my job is. But sure, plenty of people spend plenty of money on a property and they're never going to recover it, but that's okay, because you know what? They've got the money.
Their castle.
And they want it. That's right. They wanted to have it, a great lifestyle in it, and they're going to live in it for 10, 20 years. And you know what? Doesn't matter, because that's what they want to do, and good luck to them.
Now, if you want to get a copy of the book, you can go to the website, patrickbright.com.
Yeah, or, yep.
is probably the best way to go.
Just Google my name and you'll come across.
PatrickBright.com is the website. The Insider's Guide to Renovating for Profit. And there's a whole bunch of tips in there on how to add value fast and some real case studies and examples on how to make thousands, as you say on the front here, from renovating the right types of property the right way. So if you're in the process or if you're about to get into the renovation routine, then I'd suggest you might want to get a copy of the book and have a read.
Yeah, well, I've put 10 different case studies in there of real numbers, real renovations, real rent increases and return on investments, real increases in sale prices. I just picked different types of houses. I've used apartments, terraces, semis, all different, just a sprinkling of different projects to give people an understanding of what you can do.
Beaut. And we've got three books. You've brought three in to give away, which we'll give away. Jen, I think we'll do just the first three callers on 131873. We'll give them a copy of The Insider's Guide to Renovating for Profit by Patrick Bright. Patrick, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
See you again 29 minutes after 10.